Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be in Romans chapter 15 for a start, and for the most part. Romans chapter 15, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you, in some sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to stop right there. I want to talk about believing today. Specifically, this is my title, Paul, Joy and Peace in Believing. Now, this book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul, and he calls himself specifically the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. But now this book, I have heard, you may not believe this, but I have heard, that the book of Romans was written to Jews in Rome. Well, it was. As long as you put in these two words at the end. And Gentiles. You understand? Romans 1 and 7 says to all that be in Rome. Beloved of God. Beloved of God. That's the address. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I understand in this book you will find direct references to Jews. Paul was reading some of them. And you will find direct references to here Gentiles, as in this chapter here, and others. But let's be clear. I mean, for everybody, no matter what anyone else tells you, every word of this Bible is written to and for believers. Old Testament, New Testament, Gospels, Epistles, Prophets, Psalms, Proverbs, it's all for those who are beloved of God. That's who it's to, that's who it's for, and it is concerning about the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. But now, I'm going to start here in Romans 15 and verse 13. And that's pretty much where I'm going to spend most of my time. Now, the God of hope. The God of hope. Now, the direct reference of this title is found in verse 12. Who is the God of hope? The God of hope is a root of Jesse. That's what it says in verse 12. And again, Isaiah, which is Isaiah, saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. That's Jesus Christ. He's the root of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. Jesus Christ was known as the son of David, because his lineage was directly from David. You can read that in the first chapters of Matthew, Luke, wherever you want. Jesus Christ is the Son of David. He is the root of Jesse. He is the righteous branch that was going to be raised up. That's who the God of hope is. And if you look just a little bit before this in verse 9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. I'm not going to go into that. Paul did that really well. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And then he says, the root of Jesse shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Now, the God of hope. It's the same person all along. Jesus Christ is the God of hope. That's the direct reference. The Son of David, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ of God. Isaiah also calls him the Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel. What? The Redeemer. The Redeemer. That's Jesus Christ. He is the God of hope. And here's the thing. He is God, and he's our only hope. He's our only hope. Jeremiah put it this way, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Peter wrote this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. A living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The God of hope, who is our hope, and I love this part two, where it says, hath begotten us again. That's that word fathered. The God of hope is our Father. He fathered us. That life where there's only death before. A dead alien sinner given life. You have been fathered by God. If you know Christ, if you believe Christ, and he has fathered us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He has fathered us. I like that. I do. So what about this God of hope? Paul wrote it. The God of hope fill you. Yeah. Now, I like Young's literal translation because it actually renders it just a little better in this case. It says, now the God of hope shall fill you. You understand, this is not a prayer of Paul saying, I hope he does. No, he says the God of hope is going to fill you. The God of hope shall fill you. It's the way the tense of the verb is in that case. The God of hope shall fill you. Who? Believers. Believers. That's who Paul's talking to here. That's who Paul is writing to. The only ones who know the God of hope are those who have received this hope. You understand? You can't believe in whom you've not heard. That's just the facts. You understand? You can't believe in something or someone, in this case, whom you don't know. But the God of hope, who is our hope, who has fathered us, is going to fill you. He's going to fill you. He's going to fill you. He's going to fill me. Oh, I like that. I do. John said, and I preached on this, I think, back in July. And of his, speaking of Christ, of his fullness have all we received. And grace for grace. Sinners saved by grace, His grace, His hope, and His fullness. He's the one that fills. You don't fill yourself. I know a lot of people say that you got to pray and you got to get down and you got to work it up and you need to get that second helping of grace. No. The God of hope shall fill you. And you'll be full. You'll be full. Hope maketh not ashamed. Why? The love of God is shed abroad. Where? In our hearts. In our hearts. The God of hope shall fill you. Shall fill you. By the Holy Ghost given to us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given to us. The blessed hope himself fills the believer. The only hope. The living hope. Who is Jesus Christ? What does it say? I like quoting this one. It's Jesus Christ. What? The hope of glory. But not only that, the hope of glory in you. In you. In you, the hope of glory. Of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. And this is the only place man will ever find true hope, is in Christ. Without Christ, there is no hope. Without Christ, there's nothing but death. And that's part of what makes this so such a glorious verse here. You understand? Here, we've talked about it. I've preached it. Walter's preached it. Paul, you mentioned. We're worms. We're maggots. We're less than the small dust of the balance, and yet the God of hope shall fill you. I was listening to Henry coming up the road here before I had my flat tire incident. And he was talking about all those Pharisees and scribes around him. He said, this man, who did Jesus Christ stop and talk to? Who did Jesus Christ preach to? He preached to sinners and publicans and harlots and a woman that had been possessed of seven devils. And they said, this man is the friend of sinners. Yes, he was. And wait a minute, ain't done yet. Yes, he is. He still is. You understand, those Pharisees and scribes didn't realize that they fell in that same category of sinners. But he'll show you. He'll show you. He'll show you what category you fit in when he's going to give you, before he gives you that hope. You're going to know. And of his fullness, we have all received, and grace for grace. I like that. But next thing it says is, with all joy and peace. He shall fill you with all joy and peace. Because there is a joy, actually the joy and the peace, being in Christ Jesus. And it's a joy and peace I can't explain. I wish I could. All I can say is this. And I can tell you this from my own personal experience and from what I've observed. It's good to know Jesus Christ. And I mean it's God good to know Jesus Christ. It's good to know him. It's really good to know God, and more importantly, it's really good to be known of God. Moreover, known of God. You understand? See, there's a lot of single way religions out there. They say they know God, but they don't know anything about his scripture. They say they know God, but they hate his election. They say they know God, but they hate his sovereignty. They say they know God and then boast about their free will. Boast about what they've done. I'm sorry, if you're doing that, you don't know God. Because there is no boasting except for of God and of Jesus Christ. Think about this for a minute. God knows your name. And he's not spitting it out of his mouth when he says it. He knows your name. He knows your name. If you're in him, God knows who you are, where you are, and what you're doing. Isn't that amazing? The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, and peace. There's more, but I'm going to stop right there. And Jesus Christ has sent his Holy Spirit into every believer. And you have a joy and a peace that this world will never know. That unbelievers never know. There is no true joy or any true peace without Jesus Christ. Because he is our joy. Jesus Christ is our peace. Jesus Christ is our living hope. But this is what kind of stopped me here on this verse. With all joy and peace, and those next two words, in believing. That joy and peace. He's going to fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In believing. There is joy, true joy, in believing Jesus Christ. Because believers are the sons and daughters of God. And there is peace, true peace, true peace, in believing Jesus Christ. Believers are saved in Christ Jesus. Excuse me. Let me be clear here. Very clear. Believing Jesus Christ is not a burden. Believing Jesus Christ is not a duty. Believing Jesus Christ is not your right. And believing Jesus Christ even is not a privilege. Believing Jesus Christ is a blessing from God. Believing Jesus Christ is one of those spiritual blessings. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Believing Jesus Christ is a blessing from God. It's a wondrous thing because believing Jesus Christ is a miracle of grace. You went through your life before he met you not believing him. I did the same. It's a blessing from the Lord. Because I want to stop and just ask you a question here for just a minute. Think about this. Do you like believing Jesus Christ? I never really stopped and thought about that specifically. And when I did, though, I realized I like believing Jesus Christ. I like believing God. Now, if you had met me before I turned 23, I would have told you, I don't know what you're talking about. But right now, this scripture made me stop and think and ponder on this. I like believing Christ. I like believing Jesus. I like knowing him. And actually, it's kind of double good. When I come to the point where I realized, now I realize in me, still in my flesh, is an evil heart of unbelief. It's still there. But when I stop and I think about it, I can't imagine now not believing Christ. I can't imagine what that would be like, Walter. He is such a part of my life. He is in me and has been in me now for decades. And yes, thank God, by his grace, I have grown in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I like it. I really like it. And when I stop and think about it, it does give me a little joy and peace to know that by his grace, he has given to me to believe him. You understand? To believe him. Not to pay lip service to believing him. You understand? Whatever I find in his book, I believe. Whether I understand it or not, I ask him for understanding. But his word, especially, I gotta admit, I really like the words he spoke when he was on this world. For those 3.5 years of that ministry, the little scraps that we have, I like believing his word. I like believing Christ. This God, who at one time I didn't even know, didn't even care about whom I probably, the true him, I never had a thought about him. And if I did have a thought about him, it was probably wrong. And I'm willing to bet y'all are the same way. But now, by his grace, by his Holy Spirit, I know him, and I know the Father who sent him. And you know what Jesus Christ called that? He called that eternal life, is to know thee and the one that you have sent. It's a most gracious and glorious gift given to his people. And I want to tell you this. If you think believing in Jesus Christ is a burden, you don't know him. That's all I can say. You don't know him. You don't know anything about him. Because most people don't understand, because most people do not believe Jesus Christ. And that's just as true as I can say it. You understand? There's many that are on that broad way. And the end thereof is what? Destruction. And straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. You know the reason you find it? It's because he puts you in it. He puts you there. Those who were lost, those who are called out, those who are brought in, those lost sheep that he picked up and carried on his shoulders and brought them back to the flock, those people are blessed to believe him, because the lost don't know. You understand? The very gospel that we preach, is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their minds. They can't see it. They don't know it. And for them, see, going to church is, oh, I gotta go to church. If I don't, my wife will yell at me. Or my husband will yell at me. And I got to get them kids into church because they got to learn how to behave somewhere. If believing Christ is a burden to you, you don't know him. You don't know him. The minds are blinded. They cannot see, and no one will see until the glorious light of Jesus Christ shines in them. In them. Then, only then, will they know the joy and peace in believing Jesus Christ. And Paul said this, that you abound in hope. The God of hope is our hope. those who believe Jesus Christ abound in hope. You got more hope than you know what to do with. You abound in hope. Believers live in hope in Him. In Him. What did it say? In Him we live and move and have our very being. Every thought I have about Him is in hope. Every step you walk is in hope. That's abounding in hope, because He is our hope. He'll put in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure through the power of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1:19 says this: "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us," to usward, who believe, "according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places." We have all joy and peace in believing, and we believe according to the working of His mighty power. And I looked it up again. His vigorous forcefulness. That's what mighty power means. I'm sorry, we're so pitiful we can't even believe on our own. He gives us His faith. He's the author and finisher of faith. And He gives us His faith. And what? He gives it to us to believe in joy and in peace. I like that. I do. It takes the mighty power of God to believe God through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, doesn't that sort of put to rest that statement? I'll believe God when I'm good and ready. I'll come to God when I want to. I'm not ready yet. I don't want to go now. Well, the last part is a true statement. I don't want to now. And if God doesn't change your want to, you won't.